Today's daf is Kiddushin Daf Samach Beis. We left off on the bottom of Daf Samach Aleph and Beis, five lines from the bottom of the page on Samach Aleph and Beis. We were in the middle of discussing the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, whether it's necessary to have a Tanai Kafel. Rabbi Meir holds that we learn from Bnei Gad Bnei Ruvain that any time you make a Tanai, you require a Tanai Kafel, you need to say it both ways. Whereas Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says, no, Mechlal Lava Tashomer Hein, you could figure out on your own. What the opposite is, it's not necessary to have a Tanai Kafel. So we're in the middle of issuing the rayas one way or the other. We already brought three rayas to Rabbi Meir and rejected all three rayas. We're going to bring another three rayas, two more for Rabbi Meir, one more for Rabbi Chanina, another four rayas, three more for Rabbi Meir, and one for Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel in this issue of Tanai Kafel. The last one is going to relate to the sprinkling of the Para Aduma, ashes and water mixture, and we're going to discuss how critical it is that it be done Dafka on day 3 and 7, and what the impact of doing it on the wrong day is. And then the Mishnah on Samach Beis Amud Aleph is going to teach three halachos. One about being a Mekadesh woman, assuming that she's something she's not. You thought she was a Kohenes and she's really a Leviya or something like that. Halacha is she didn't fool him, she didn't lie to him, so it's Mekudeshes. He can't say just because I thought she was rich and it turns out she's poor, but if she didn't tell you anything to make you believe that, she's Mekudeshes. The second halacha is going to be about being Mekadesh, a woman who's currently ineligible. She's not yet Jewish, she's not yet freed from slavery, she's not yet divorced, her husband's not yet dead, and you're being Mekadesh her for when she becomes eligible. That also is Eina Mekudeshes. And third halacha is about being Mekadesh of fetus, that the baby is not yet born and trying to be Mekadesh of the baby, that too is Eina Mekudeshes. So that's going to lead us obviously to the sugya of being of Davar Shalob Aliyolim, that here you're trying to accomplish something which currently cannot be accomplished because the item is not here yet or the situation isn't here yet to accomplish it. So Rabbi Yochanan is being Mekadesh that anything that's biyado is not considered Mechusar Maisa. If you can easily make it happen, then it's not considered to be missing, it's not considered as if it's not yet here, because you could easily make it happen. So the Gemara is going to question Rabbi Yochanan from three different places, and then the Gemara is going to bring up Brisa that supports Rabbi Yochanan. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to talk about being Mafresh Truma from Mechubar on Talush and from Talush on Mechubar, because Allah is that only Mechubar is Chayiv in Truma, but Talush is, only Talush rather is Chayiv in Truma, but Mechubar, that which is still attached to the ground, is not Chayiv in Truma. So let's begin. Five lines from the bottom of the page, Samach Aleph and Beis. Bishlam, the Rav Meir, Hainu Duchsivim Tov V'Shmatem, Vim Tumanu Marisem. I understand, according to Rabbi Meir, why the Navi Yeshaya has to tell the Jewish people that if you listen, then Tuvar Tzotchelu, if you do what you're supposed to do, then you're going to eat from the best of the land, and if you don't do what you're supposed to do, then Cherev to Uklu, you're going to eat swords, it's going to be a terrible thing. El Rabbi Chanina, so I understand why it has to say it both ways, because you need it tonight, Kafel. El Rabbi Chanina, so we start off with the Aretz. That's how we start Yom Ha'atzmaut. El Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel lamali, but according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, why does it have to say both ways? You already know that obviously if you listen to the words of Hashem, so then you're going to eat from the Tuv Ha'aretz, everything's going to be great in Eretz Yisrael. So obviously, if you don't listen to the words of Hashem, things are going to be terrible. So Yitzrich, Salka, Daitach Aminim, Tovu, Tov, Avim, Tamanu, Lo, Tov, Lo, Ra. No, we might have thought that if you do the right thing, then it's going to be good. And if you don't do the right thing, then it will be nothing. It won't be good and it won't be bad. Kamash Malan, therefore, has to tell me now that there's specifically an Onesh if you don't do the right thing. So the Gemara says, okay, now what is that Onesh? So the Pasuk says, you're going to eat swords? Is that even a thing? How could a person eat swords? My Cherev Tuklu, what does that mean? That a person is Cherev to Uklu. So Gemara explains, Amarava Milcha Galalanisa, it doesn't mean actual swords, it means a certain type of very coarse salt, Nahama Desari Akusha, a hard barley bread, Ubatsli and onions, and that's considered like eating swords because it's terrible for you. Damar Mar, Pasporni Chareva, if you have dry bread, Bimelech Vitzelim, with salt and with onions, Kashim Lugufka Charevos, it's as bad for the body as eating swords. That's how. That's what the pasuk is referring to. That we're going to have terrible food to eat. We're not going to be able to mine good food or to grow good food in the land. That's the terrible punishment. Now Rashi explains that the klala sounds like that the chila is going to be going to be terrible. The Shita Nodalmi points out that you can't say that the onus is going to be that we're going to, you know, I would have said, what does it mean to eat a sword? I would have said it means that we're going to suffer by the sword, that we're going to be involved in wars and we're going to get killed. So Shita Nodalmi says you can't say that, because then it should have said b'cherev tochlu with a beis. From the fact that it says cherev tochelu without a beis, sounds like what you're eating is the cherev, not b'cherev, not by the sword you're going to be eating. So that's why the Gemara explains the Gemara is only explaining the pasuk in this context because we happen to have mentioned this pasuk, but the explanation of the pasuk doesn't really relate to our sugya at all according to that approach. However, the Makna explains that the Gemara was really asking that if it means that if we don't listen to Hashem, then we're going to get killed by the cherev. So then it's not really a Tanai Kafel, because what was, if you do listen to Hashem, then the land is going to produce great fruit and great food, and we're going to enjoy. And if you don't listen to Hashem, the flip side should have been that the land won't produce. The land will give us terrible things. We're not going to be able to produce good things from the land. The flip side is not, and if you don't do the will of Hashem, that you're going to be killed by the sword. So that's why the Gemara Dafka goes out of its way to explain the pasuk over here, to show why it's why this is subject to the Tanai Kafel discussion. It's only subject to the Tanai Kafel discussion when the opposite of the positive is the negative that's actually expressed in the pasuk itself. Okay, so says Gemara now, next raya, four lines from the top. Bishlam, Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel. Hainu dechsiv. I understand very well according to Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel, who holds that you don't need a Tanai Kafel. So that's why the pasuk says, Im lo shachav ish osach, vim lo setis tumatachsi sheikhinaki. That we tell the Sota that if you are innocent, if you didn't do anything wrong, then you are off the hook, then you are going to be clean, you're going to be vindicated, everything's going to be fine. El Rabbi Meir, chinaki mi baile. According to Rabbi Meir, it should have said the flip side also. It should have said, and if you're guilty, then you're going to choke and you're going to die. But it doesn't say, it only says the positive. So according to Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel, I understand very well, you don't need to say the Tanai Kafel, michlal hein atoshamei alav. I could figure it out on my own. But according to Rabbi Meir, why doesn't it say what the terrible result is going to be of her not being innocent? So I'm Rabbi Tanchum Hinkiksiv. It says Hinaki, but it's without the extra yud, so it's as if it says Chinki that you're going to choke. Meaning we read it as if it's saying that in this pasuk im lo shachav ish osach, then everything's going to be fine. And then Hinaki, but we also read the word Hinaki as if it's saying that you're going to choke, the Chinki, and we read that together with the next pasuk that talks about the woman being guilty. So it actually does have both sides of the issue in the psukim itself, just by having the word written without a yud. So that's what the Chumash is doing. So it says Gemara, okay, so then let's flip it around. Bishlam the Rameir Hainu Duchsiv Hinki. So I understand according to Rameir, that's why it says Hinaki without the yud. El Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel, Lamali, according to Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel, why does it spell Hinaki without the yud? Itzrich, Salka Daitach Amina, because we might have thought, Im lo shachav ish Hinaki, vim shachav lo Hinaki v'lo Hinaki. I would have thought that if she's innocent, then she'll be vindicated and everything will be fine, nothing will happen to her. And if she's guilty, then nothing. Then it's going to be nice. She's not going to be vindicated, but she's also not going to suffer. At least Sura Bialma. Stam will be in a Sura Bialma. Kamash Milan. That's why it has to tell me that she's going to suffer something terrible if she's in fact guilty. Mishael Melech raised an interesting question by this whole Tanai Kafel business. The whole idea that you need a Tanai Kafel, is that only when you're making a Tanai for the future? I'm making a Kiddusha Mekadesh Nisha Almanas that she gives me Masayim Zuz. So that's in the future. So if I want the Tanai to be Mevatel, the Maisa that I'm doing right now, I'm doing a Maisa Kiddusha. I want the Tanai to be able to be Mevatel that Maisa if that Tanai doesn't come through. So it better be a very strong Tanai to be Mevatel the Maisa. But what about a Tanai Lisha Ava? A guy does a kiddushin if yesterday it rained. So then maybe it doesn't need mishpatei atanayim, because the whole reason you need mishpatei atanayim is, like we said, if you want to be mevatel maisa, you better have a very strong tanai. But over here, where it's where you're doing a maisa on a tanai that already passed, if yesterday it rained, so if it didn't rain yesterday, it's not the tanai being mevatel the maisa, it's that there's no maisa at all, meaning that the maisa doesn't even begin, doesn't even get off the ground to begin with. So maybe when you're talking about Lisha Avar, you don't need Mishpatei Atanayim. But he points out from our Gemara, you see that even Lisha Avar, you need Mishpatei Atanayim, because the whole Tanai with the Sota is about the past. It's if you did this, if you didn't do this. So since it's all about the past, it's all about Lisha Avar, you see that Mishpatei Atanayim is necessary even for a Tanai of Lisha Avar. The second point, Tosos raises the issue in Dibra Maskel Bishlomo. Tosos says that by Sota there's another problem. Forget about the fact that you don't have a Tanai Kafel, that the Gemara deals with how maybe we could read a Tanai Kafel into the Psukim. There's another problem, that one of the Mishpatei Atanayim is that you need to be Makdim the Hain to the Lav. You need the yes before the no. Over here we have the no before the yes. It starts out with the Imlo Shach. If you were innocent, then hinaki, and im shachav, and if you were, it doesn't say im shachav, but we darshan, chinki is if you were guilty. So why do we start with the lav kodem lahain? Mishpatei Atanayim demand that you need a hain kodem lalav. So Tosa suggests that in order to be makdim the hain to the hain and the lav have to be clearly identified. Hain and lav does not mean when we say yes and when we say no. Imlo shachav is not necessarily a lav. He says when we say hain kodem lav, it means that which is the desired result should be before that which is undesired. That which we would have preferred should be before that which we would not have preferred. Well, what do we prefer over here? That the sota be guilty or that the sota be innocent? Certainly the preference is lo shachav. So it's hain kodem lav, even if you say lo shachav. That's how Tosa suggests. The Achronim just point out, all the Achronim point out, that if that, the Taz in the Sakdama Tiyaradeya points out, that if that's really the definition of hain and lav, desired and not desired, he says, by a get of a shchiv mera, we said, if a guy says, im lo mati lo yehe get, v'im mati yehe get, that's not going to work. If he starts by saying, if I don't die, then this should not be a good get, and if I do die, it should be a good get, so that doesn't work, the Gemara says, because it's a lav kodem lehein, you need hein kodem lelav. According to Tosos, that would seem to be a hein kodem lav. Im lo mati, maybe a lashon of lo, and maybe that I don't die, but one would imagine that that's the desired result, is that he not die. So according to Tosos, the whole sugya in Gittin, daf ayin hey, about im lo mati, imati, is incorrect according to Tosos, l'chora. So that's the kasha that all the Achronim ask. The Gilyan Marsha, on the Hakdam of the Taz, Gilyan Marsha is on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, the Hagos of Shlomo Eger, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, he points out in the name of the Tshuvas Beis Yaakov that it could be that over there imati is in fact the desired result, and lo mati is the undesired result, because sometimes a person is so sick and he's in so much pain that he actually desires to die, that he would actually prefer to die. The Ran writes in the Darim and Daf Mem that sometimes we're mevakesh rachamim anachola, that he should die. It's a big discussion whether one is allowed to do that. If someone is suffering and you know that there's no chance of a refuah, so can you daven that they should die? The Gemara tells us at the end of Ksubas that the Amsa Debe Rebbe did that, that she saw Rebbe was in so much pain she couldn't bear to see Rebbe in that kind of pain, so she davened that he should die. There's a discussion in the contemporary poskim. Are you allowed to stop treatment? What do you do in terms of if there's something that could prolong an extremely painful life in great agony? Are we obligated to administer that treatment? So some say, well, if the Ran says and the Gemara sounds at the end of Ksubas, you're allowed to daven that the person dies because it's so painful. So maybe then you're allowed to withhold treatment. You're allowed to say we're not gonna treat them further. Whereas others say, no. You treat them with everything you've got, and daven that they should die. Daven that the treatment doesn't work. So some of the posts can say, well, what does that mean? How could you be davening against what you're trying to do? It's a very difficult parsha. But anyway, that's what the Gilui Marsha says. That's how Tosos must understand that sugya and gittin daf ayin hay. Otherwise, it doesn't really work with Tosos's definition of lav and hain. Last raya now in the Gemara. Bishlam Rameir Hayin Dichsev Hu Yischata Bo Biyom Shlishu Biyom Shvi Yitar Vim Lo Yischata. I understand according to Rameir Meir says that if you sprinkle the Parah Aduma on day 3 and day 7 of the Tara process, the Tamei Beis will become Tahar, and if you don't, then he's not going to be Tahar, and he's going to remain Bituma. So it says, Im lo yischata b'yom ha-shlishi b'yom ha-shvi lo yitar. So I understand why it has to say both ways, because you need it to Nekafel. El Rabbi Chanin Megamliel lamali. But according to Rabbi Chanin Megamliel, why is it necessary to spell out that if you don't do the procedure of Hazah Shlishi Ushvi, that the person is going to remain Tamei? That the mitzvah hazah, the best way to do the hazah is on day 3 and day 7. But I might have thought, you know what, but if you do either day 3 or day 7, maybe that would be good enough as well, like some of the Rishonim hold when it comes to the B'dikos during the Shiva Nekiyin. So Machlokas Rishonim, Shulchan Aruch quotes that there are those Rishonim that hold, you know, really you need both day 1, and really you need every single day, and ideally twice a day. But really day 1, we paskin day 1 and day 7 would suffice. What if you have only day 1 or day 7? So some Rishonim hold that also B'dievet would be good enough. Shulchan Aruch, after he quotes that day, says, Ve'ein lahakel. That we can't be makel on such a shayla. But anyway, there are Rishonim that say that. So one might have thought the same is by the day for Parah Aduma. Okay, you should sprinkle day 3 and day 7. Okay, but if you do only one, b'diavad, that would work. Kamash Mulan, that's why it has to tell me, no, if you don't do day 3 and day 7, you have zero, you have nothing, the woman remains Tamei. Why does the Torah then have to say that you sprinkle, the Torah sprinkles on the Tamei person on day 3 and day 7? Say Yisrich. I might have thought when it says day 3 and day 7, it means you can't jump the gun and do any earlier than day 3 and day 7, because there's no way that you can choose to speed up the Tara process. You're minimizing the days of Tara that are necessary. But maybe you do day 3 and day 8, where you're prolonging the process. I might think that that works. Kamash Mulan, that's why he has to tell me it doesn't work. V'chatu b'yom ha-shvi lamali. Why does he have to then add v'chatu b'yom ha-shvi'i? Itzrich. One might have thought, yes, I know that you need both day 3 and day 7, but maybe that's only for kachim. But maybe to be matar the person enough to be able to eat truma, either day 3 or day 7 would suffice. Kamash Mulan, therefore it has to tell me that no, day 3 and day 7 are necessary, not only for kachim, but even for just truma, it's necessary to have both day 3 and day 7. Okay, now we move on to the next Mishnah, Samach Beis Amaralf, middle of the page. Hamakadesh is the Isha. Guys, met three cases in this Mishnah. Case number one, someone's Makadesh and Isha, or three Allachas in the Mishnah. Va'amar, and he says, Kasavra Yisi She Kohenes. I thought she was a Kohenes. I thought she came from a family of Kohanim. Varei Levia. Turns out she's from a family of Leviim. Levia Varei Kohenes, or vice versa. Ania Varei Yash. Ashira, I thought she was a poor girl. She seemed so simple. So, and it turns out she's very wealthy. Ashira Vereyani, I thought she was very wealthy. It turns out she's very poor. You can't always tell when you meet a person whether they're wealthy or poor. But she never told him. She never advertised. She never said, I'm rich. She never said, I'm poor. She didn't say anything. He just looked at whatever, the way she was dressed, the way she carried herself, and he made assumptions. And that, and based on that assumption, he was Mekadesh. He thought he knew what he was getting. Harezu Mekadesh Mneshla. So she's Mekadeshes because she didn't do anything to trick him, to fool him, to deceive him. Ha'omer le'isha. Halacha number two. A guy says to a woman, Hare Mekadesh li'lach she's gayer. Right now I'm a guy, he says, so I know I can't be Mekadesh you, but I'm going to be Mekadesh you right now for to be chal after I go through a gerus. Or she's a gaya right now, and he says, "Ola achshetis gairi." That I'm being mekadesh you now for after you go through gerus. La achshetis shachri, for after I become freed. Ola achshetis shachri, after you become freed from slavery. La achshiyamus bailech. Or this not so classy. The woman is married, and the guy goes over to her and says, "I'm being mekadesh you for after your husband dies." He's already looking forward. A rabbi once told me from a different community that he got a phone call from someone once saying, you know, Mr. Goldberg? Yeah, he's very sick. He's very, very sick, right? Yeah. You think the Kavura is going to be in Eretz Yisrael? The guy is still alive. You think the Kavura is going to be in Eretz Yisrael? I don't know why. Well, I have kids in Eretz Yisrael, I need someone to bring a package to them. So, jumping the gun a little bit. The guy's still alive. And they're already sending packages to Eretz Yisrael with the kefura. So a person says, L'achar she'emes b'aleich. I know your husband's alive, but you know, be mekadesh you for after he dies. L'achar she'tomes achoseich, for after your sister dies. He's married to her sister, and he wants to marry her after his wife dies. So he's mekadesh her now. L'achar she'yachlutz l'ayich yivamech. Or after your yavam does chalitza with you, because she has a zika now. She's zakuk to yibum. Ainam mukadeshes. Halacha is ainam mukadeshes. So that's halacha number two in the Mishnah. That there's a situation where right now she's not eligible for kiddushin. You can't do the kiddushin now for when there will be eligibility for kiddushin. V'cheina omer lechaveru im yaldi ishtecha nekeva harezim mukadeshesli ainam mukadeshes. Also, if a guy sees that he goes over to his friend and says, if your wife gives birth to a baby girl, I want that girl to be mekadeshes to me. Halach is it is not a valid kiddushin. The next the parentheses we take out of the girsa because the Gemara is going to make that ukimta. So we'll have to see in the Gemara how the ukimta plays out. Tana nasam says in the Mishnah, "Ein tarmin minatalush ala mechubar." That we can't. The Mishnah Maseches Trumas in the first parak of Trumas tells us that one cannot take truma from that which is detached from the ground to cover the produce that's still attached to the ground. That which is attached to the ground is pater from Trumas Maestros. That which is detached from the ground is chayiv in Trumas Maestros. You can't take minachayiv ala pater. Now, how do I know that mechubar is pater from Trumas Maestros? Machlokas Rashi and Tosos right here. Rashi writes, "Mechubar." And since it calls it Rashis de Guncha, Truma has to be Rashis de Guncha, Midi de Midgun, Shanesaf Bakri. It implies that it has to be something that's already been gathered together in the silo, it's all been processed. And therefore, there's no Truma on that which is, when you are mafresh from the Talush on the Mechubar, the Talush does not have a shame Truma, it's just considered to be Chulin, and the Mechubar is going to still need a Hafrasha when you are actually Talush. Tulsa says, wait a second, is it really from the word degancha that you need midi de midgan? He says, if that was the case, the kasha dimkein ledvarav bitalush nami kodim shenismareach lavi truma. Even if everything was talush, but part of the dagan was already processed, and the others were still in piles, and the piles weren't even evened out yet, so it wasn't yet dagan, it wasn't yet nesaf bekri. So there also it shouldn't be a good truma, share lo midgan. If it's Tali on Midgan, on the Gancha, so it's not only about Mechubar, it's about not being fully processed. V'lesa, but we know that's not the Halacha, the Amar B'Alma, Maisa Rishon Shekdimu B'Shibolim, Patam Yitzhum G'dola, Demashim D'Mahani. If you take Maisa Rishon before you ever took Truma, while it's still B'Shibolim, where it hasn't yet been processed, it does work. It counts as Maisa Rishon, and you've therefore bypassed the Truma G'dola. So you see that it does work. So how can you say that it's all Tali on Midgan? And we say beferush in Maseches Trumos that if you are mafresh from that which is nigmar melachto on that which is not nigmar melachto, it works. It's okay. It counts. So how can you say that it's all from midgun? So therefore, Tos says no. It's a different thing. It's a different drasha. L'chein nira l'ri hadu mechub pater nafkalan midichsiv mimenu tedarsh b'sifri mimenu v'lamina mechub. It has nothing to do with Midgun. Midgun would imply that it's fully processed. No, it's a different drasha. It's from Mimenu. Mimenu means from that which is Talush and not from that which is Mechubar. But be that as it may, whether you go with Rashi's drasha or with Talush's drasha, Truma from that which is Mechubar is not yet Chayiv in Truma. And therefore, says the Mishnah Vayter, Vim Taram, Ain Truma, so Truma, if a person was Mafresh Truma on Talush for that which is Mechubar, it doesn't work at all. If a person says, let the mechubar be truma for the talush, or let the talush be truma for the mechubar, when the mechubar finally becomes talush, so he adds that detail, that I'm not saying that it should be truma right now. I know it can't be truma right now, whether you have because of a dagon like Rashi, or whether you have mimenu v'lomen mechubar like Tosos. I know it can't work right now, but likesha yitlishu, when there is tlisha, when the the mechuber is totally detached, then it should be chal v'nitlshu, and then later you are tolish it. Ma, what's the din in that case? Amalei kol shabiyado lav k'muchusar ma'isadami. Whenever it's biyado, when it's in your control to make it happen, that's not considered mechusar ma'isa, and therefore that would work over here because it's biyado to be tolish that which is mechubar. The poskim discuss a shadchan that suggested a shidduch for a person whose wife was very ill and was about to die, or a person who was about to get divorced and then the woman died, or they did get divorced and then another shadchan comes and suggests the same shidduch. Which shadchan is the real shadchan? Do you pay the first shadchan who suggested it while the guy was still married, or do you pay the second shadchan? So the Karban Asanel in his Tshuvas discusses someone whose wife was very sick. The doctor said that she has no chance, and shadchan this exact case, and shadchan came and spoke to him about a possible shidduch for after she dies, and then another shadchan came after she actually died. So the first shadchan wanted the shadchanos. So he says ein la rishon klum, he doesn't get anything because it was not biyado at that time to make the shidduch happen, even though rov goes in the misa, but he was still married at that time, and al pi rov you can't be gomer the shidduch. So he's the woman is kechai l'chol dvarav, and since she was married to him at that time, that shidduch is not a shidduch at all. It's right from our sugya harei mekdesh l'achas shiyamus baleich or l'achas shetamus achoseich. The Mishnah says ain't a mekdeshes because these are dvarim shelo ba'al yolam, and right now it's not biyado. If it's not biyado, so that's it. So then it doesn't count. So that's the raya that they bring from our sugya. So, but bottom line is we Rabbi Yochanan is suggesting over here a very great chiddush. The Amrlei is Rabbi Yochanan saying back to Rav Asi. So it's Rabbi Yochanan suggesting that whenever it is biyado, it's as if it's already happened. It's not considered to be a mechusar maisa. So the Gemara is going to challenge Rabbi Yochanan three times. First challenge: Esvei Omer li sharei mekdash li lach sheis gai lach shitzkari lach sheshach lach shachri lach sheyamus baleich lach shtamus achoseich lach sheyachol seich liyavamech. The Mishnah gives seven examples of being mekadesh nisha in a situation where currently she's not eligible for kiddushin, but you're saying that it should apply later on. The seven examples are: I go through Geirus, you go through Geirus. Now, or I get freed from slavery, you get freed from slavery. Your husband dies, your sister, who's my wife, dies. Or after Chalitza, after you get Chalitza. In all those cases, Einu Mekudeshes. Now, the assumption is because all of those cases, they're currently ineligible, and we say assume it's Mechusar Maisa. Well, Bishlam Akulhu, Lav Biyado. Most of those, I understand, they're not within your control. You can't make them happen, right? You're not allowed to kill somebody. So you can't kill her sister or her current husband or anything like that. El ger havi biyado. But gerus, if it's that I should become a ger, from when I convert, this kiddushin should be chal. Isn't that biyado, to become a ger? So how come we assume that it's considered mechusar maisa? So Gemara explains, ger nami lav biyado. Ger is not considered biyado. Dam Rav Chiya bar Abba, Am Rav Yochanan, ger tzarech shlosha. In order to do a gerus, you need three people. You need a beis din. My timer, why do you need a beis din for gerus? Mishpat ksiv bei kedin, because it says mishpat like by a din. And mi yemer dimizdakul lehani tlasa. How do you know that he's going to be able to find three people? So it's not biyado to make a gerus happen, because in order to make a gerus, you can't do it on your own. You need a beis din. Without a beis din, you can't make it happen. Now Rashi says tzarech shlosha yisraelim. You need three yisraelim. The sheniskakel to be matbil him and to let him know the mitzvos kalos v'chamuros. Rav Shechter in Ginas Egos in Simon Lamed Hey Os Hey quotes from the Sefer Shalmei Shmuel, who's medayik from this Rashi that Mishpat Ksiv, that Rashi says you need three Yisraelim, that he means to say you need three Yisraelim. What's Rashi being mechadish? What, that the Dayanim can't be Goyim? I mean, what would you think? That they don't have to be Kohanim? Why would you think they would have to be Kohanim? So he says, no, what Rashi is trying to say is they need to be three Yisraelim, not three Gerim. That even though there is a halacha that a ger is done, ger chavero, except for even bedine nefashos, a ger could be done ger chavero, another ger. But over here, the basin that's needed for gerus is not a psak on the ger; it's a psak on Knesset Yisrael. It's a psak on Klal Yisrael that we're allowing someone else into the tribe. So that's not a psak on this ger. So it's not ger done ger chavero, and that's why Rashi says dafka three Yisraelim as opposed to gerim. So Shapta just points out that luchora the basin of gerus is not paskening anything. They're not being done anything. They're being, this is what we would call like a bezin l'kiyum adav. You know how we have edus, sometimes we mevarer edus to tell us what happened. And by edus kiddushin, they're not telling us that a kiddushin happened. You just can't have a kiddushin without edim. It's edus l'kiyum adav. Well, bezin also functions that way sometimes. Sometimes bezin has to be mevarer the din. They have to tell us a psak halacha. They have to tell us what to do. By gerus, that's not the role. Bezin doesn't paskin. Okay, we paskin, you're Jewish. No, it's just that you can't have a gerus without the presence of a bezin. He says you can understand this based on what the Sefer Yeshua Yisrael says, that l'chora one could have asked two kashas in this whole idea that a ger needs a bezin. First of all, all of Hilchas Gerus is derived from Maimon Har Sinai. There was no bezin by Maimon Har Sinai. And if you can say, oh yeah, there was, because Moshe Rabbeinu is b'makom Sanhedrin Gedolah, he's b'makom Ayin Aleph of Sanhedrin Gedolah, then you should need Sanhedrin Gedolah for Gerus. So how do we learn Gerus from Maimon Har Sinai if there was no bezin by Maimon Har Sinai? And second of all, the din of Gerus, the whole Indian of Gerus, is a krisas bris. It's an agreement between this specific Nachri and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By Maimon Har Sinai, there was Hashras Hashchina representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Knesset Yisrael on the other side, who are becoming Gerim. So why don't we say that the Din Ludoro should require that we can't be Mekabel Gerim unless we have Hashras Hashchina, meaning you need the other side of the agreement. It's an agreement between HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rav Shechter points out, L'chora, one Kasha answers the other. That by Maimon Har Sinai, since there was Hashras Hashchina, and both sides to the agreement were there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, they were both there, that's why you didn't need a Beis Din for the Gerus. It's only Lidoros where we don't have Hashras Hashchina, so someone has to represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu's side. And that's the role of the Beis Din. That's the function of the Beis Din, to represent the Shechina in the Elokim Nitzav Badas Kel, that we assume that the Beis Din represents wherever there's a yeshiva's Beis Din. We know that we have Hashras Hashchina. That's what the Gemara says in Mesach Sanhedrin, that Hashras Hashchina is present when we have a Beis Din. So it could be that's the function of the Beis Din when it comes to Kabbalah's Gerus. That's not paskining anything. The Beis Din is there to create the Gerus, to represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu's side. Now the other thing that Rashi says, what do I need the Beis Din for? To be matbilim and to be modiahim the mitzvos, 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 chamurus, and kalos. So Tosfos says, I don't think so. He says, dafka b'kabbalas mitzvos hu debin in gimel, aval b'tevila b'chad sagya. Tosfos says, no, for tevila, you don't need a Beis Din. For modiah in the mitzvos, that you need a Beis Din. For tevila, one person alone is enough, if he was already mekabel mitzvos. And he says, the raya is, the Gemara in Yevamah Staf Mem Hei, says that there was a guy that they called a bar armai, because he had mila without tevila. So Rabbi Shimon Levi says, what do you mean mila without tefillah? Did he never become a Baal Keri and have to go to the mikvah? His stomach, he went to the mikvah at some point, so he must have had a tefillah. So it sounds over there that did he have a tefillah with a Beis Din? What do you mean he must have had a tefillah? Every time someone goes to the mikvah by being a Baal Keri, there's a Beis Din there? No, it sounds from there that you don't need a Beis Din, that the tefillah would have counted even if he's just going stam for being a Baal Keri. Batos says the problem we have is the Gemara in Yevamos describes how we are megayer a woman. So the Gemara says, how do you have a Beis Din there to be megayer a woman? So it says that we put her in the water ad savara, until her neck, and shnei talmid chacham are yoshev mibachutz, and let her know mitzvos, mitzvos kalos, mitzvos chamuros. And the Gemara says, shnei talmid chachamim, you need three. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right, tni shlosha, it must be three. So you see very clearly that you need three, even though all that's happening over there is the Tevila. So Tosfos suggests a couple of possibilities. First of all, he says it could be l'chadchila, you should need a Beis Din for the Tevila as well. But b'di'eved, without a Beis Din for the Tevila, it's fine. Second possibility, Tosfos says, that maybe the reason you need three over there is not for the Tevila element. We said, what are those Talmid Chacham doing? They're being modi'in la, mitzvos, mitzvos, kalos, chamuros. It's for that you need three. It's not for the Tevila itself that you need three. So Tosfos asks, why do you need three for being being modian for the Kabbalah's mitzvos. Hodos alvos, where it says mishpat, the Gemara says don afilu yichidi, that if you have a yachid mumcha, it's good enough. So why do you need three for the Kabbalah's mitzvos? So Tos says that we compare this not to hodos valvos, but rather to gzelos v'chavolos, where you always need three. Because if you have if you want to figure out when it says mishpat by gerus, should you compare it to that which is more kal, hodos valvos, where you'd only need one, or to that which is more chamor, to gzelos v'chavolos lechumra makshinan lekula lo makshinan? So says Tos, okay, then you should need mumchin, and we don't have mumchin by gerus. You should by gzelos v'chavolos you need mumchin. So he says, yeah, we do need mumchin by gerus. We're doing the shlichus of the earlier batei din who are mumchin. Otherwise, we would never be able to have gerus bizman hazeh at all. Okay, vaytu in the gemara. Maskev Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel el meata nosim prut l'shuvchaso. V'amar reyam gedash li lachash shtachareich. Hachinami davu kiddushin. If a guy gives a kiddushin to his shivcha and he says you should be mekadeshes to me after I free you, so will that be a good kiddushin since it's biyado, so it's not considered mechusar meisa? So the gemara says no. Hachiyashi, you can't compare the two. Hasame ikari behema hashadas acheres. Before he frees her, she has a din of a behema. She's a zirmasusim zirmasam. It's such a metamorphosis, it's such a change that even though it's biyado, it's not considered to be bali olam. It's still considered mechusar meisa because it's too major of a change. Vela hadar Roshi, a third challenge now on Rabbi Yochanan. That which Rabbi Roshi says, hanosim pruta lishto va'amrla hare mukadesh li la'achashagar shich eina mukadeshes, that if a guy gives a pruta to his current wife, he's married right now, and he gives her a pruta and says, this is going to be for kiddushin for you after I divorce you. Halacha is eina mukadeshes. After he divorces her, not mukadeshes. Aye, but it's all biyado. Hachinami the Rabbi Yochanan davu kiddushin. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, it should be a kiddushin because it's biyado to do. It's biyado to divorce her. So Gemara says, yeah, nihid biyado legarsha. It's biyado to divorce her, but biyado lekadsha. Is it biyado to be mekadesh her again afterwards? You could be megare shanisha bal karcha against her will. To be mekadesh shanisha, you need her to agree. So it's not biyado lekadsha. That's why it doesn't work. So says Gemara, okay, but at least tifshel to buy Rav Oshia. This should answer the baya that Rav Oshia raised. Hanosin shtei prutos liisha. Let's say a guy goes over to a single girl and gives her two prutos. Ba'achas amar leskach li ayom. One of them he says is for kiddushin right now. Ubachas amar leskach li lach shagashich. And the other one he says is for after we get divorced. I want to be mekadesh you a second time. He's already thinking down the road. So tifshel mina delav kiddushin. So we should say from here that it's not a good kiddushin because it's not biyado to be Kaddish that second time. So says Mar Dilma Kiyechid Tafsi Kiddushin Ashta Tafsi Nami Lacher Kain. Maybe over there it would work though, because since the Tvisas Kiddushin is working for right now, because she's being Makabalit right now, even though it's not Biyado to make sure that she agrees next time around, but maybe it's going to work Agav, the Kiddushin that's working right now. The Poskim discuss a fascinating case where they had to trick someone into giving a get. There's a Tshuva in the Divrei Chaim in Ebenezer Chel Beis Simon Pei Hei, where he talks about a couple that was arguing and Revan, the guy didn't want to give a get, so they told him that they were mezayif a letter from one of the Gadolei Adar that says that the letter said about this guy, a letter written. They said, oh, this Gadol Adar who passed away wrote a letter about you, and it said that you did so many averos that all the fasting in the world isn't going to help, and the only way to be mechaper for your averos is to give a get to your wife, and then you could be mekadesher again afterwards. But that's the only way you're going to have kapara savonos. So he saw the letter, he was all shaken up, and he gave a get to his wife, and then he was going to be Mekadisher again. And then they locked the door and they locked him out, and they didn't want to hear from him again. So they wanted to know if that get is going to be a kasha get. So the Divrei Chaim discusses the kashas of that get, and he says that the get is kasher. That he quotes the Tshuvas Masas Binyamin, and he says the rayas from Arasugi. You say to your wife, Harei Mekadesh Lilach Shagar Sheikh, Eina Mekadeshes, because it's a Dover Shalom Aliolam. Well, why is the Gerishin Tosin? There's an Umdana, very clear Umdana, that he's only being Megarisher because he thinks that the Kiddushin that he already put into place to be Chal afterwards is going to be a valid Kiddushin. And that's the only reason he's being Megarisher. He otherwise wouldn't have been Megarisher. So you see that whenever he gives a get, it says, Haret Mutaris Kal Adam, even if it's Muchach, that he's only doing it to be able to be Mekadisher afterwards, still you see that it's a valid get. So but the Divrei Chaim says over here, it's an Anus, because they lied to him. It's one thing when he does something that's Muchach, that he wants the Kiddushin to be Chal afterwards. It's another thing when you lie to him and you deceive him and you trick him. So that could be that it's considered an honest. So he says she's not mutaris kaladim until she gets another get from him. Okay, tiny kavasid Rabbi Yochanan. We have a brisa. It says like Rabbi Yochanan.
Ein tamer min atol shal mekhubar vim tamer min shuma su chuma, like we mentioned before. Kate said, Amar peros arugas utzlushin, you truma al peros arugas umuchuberes. A guy says the peros of this row of produce that is talush should be truma for this row that is still mechubar. Or peros arugas umuchuberes, you truma al peros arugas utzlushin. Or vice versa, lo amar klum, totally invalid. Aval amar likisha yitlushu. But if he says, let it be truma when it is finally detached, v'nitlushu, and then you do detach it from the ground, dvar of kayam, and then it does work. Yes, sir, al kainam rabbez min Yaakov. Afilu amar peres arugas utlushin, you truma al peres arugas umuchuberes. Peres arugas umuchuberes, you truma al peres arugas utlushin. Likshiyaviyu shlish v'yitlushu. Even if he says that let it be truma when it grows one third of its growth, it's not even grown enough to be considered a pre yet. And he says that when it's grown one third of its growth and is detached from the ground. So there are two steps that still need to be done until it's eligible. And then v'yiviyu shlish v'yitlushu, they grow one third of their growth and they're detached. Dvar of kayamin. That's also good enough. Amar Rabba, lo Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov el b'shachas av bagam lo. It has to at least currently in its current state be edible for animals, Rabba says. If it's not even grown enough right now to be edible for animals, then it's too far removed to make it future truma. Rav Yosef Amar Afilu ba'agam. Rav Yosef says, nah, even if it's not edible even for animals. My mashma dahay agam lishan to b'tzal nahu. How do I know agam means that it's in its very early stages? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov el b'shachas av bagam rosho. Which shita would we be following when we say that if the woman is pregnant, then you could be mekadesh the fetus? Kiman ika Rabba kshukar ubra. Well, according to Rabba, at least the fetus has to be somewhat developed, so she needs to be 3 months pregnant, because Rabba says the produce has to at least be edible for animals. And ika Rav Yosef afbi shalo hukar ubra. And if it's going like Rav Yosef, it could be even the very early stages of pregnancy. As long as it's there, you can prospectively make the kiddushin happen. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up with Vika Da'amri tomorrow.